Well, good morning. Welcome to Verve City. Thanks for that good morning back. I appreciate it. You guys must already be awake. That is a great sign. My name is Audrey. I'm glad to be able to share with you this morning. And I also want to share, before we jump into our message for this week, I want to share what we have coming up. Next Sunday, Josh will be back. He's taken a bit of vacation time, so he'll be back refreshed, ready to go. We've got a new series coming up called Untold Stories of the Bible. We're going to be looking for the next 3 weeks at how exactly our Bible came to be, why this God-inspired text has so much meaning in our lives, and how do we study the Bible as followers or people who are curious about Jesus and about what the Bible says or has for our lives. So you're not going to want to miss this series. I want you to make sure to be here next week and for the next few. We're getting ready for a really awesome fall, and I know that this series, as we look at the Bible, the untold stories of the Bible itself, I think that'll be a really great springboard into what God has for us this fall. So make sure that you mark your calendars, invite a friend, plan to be back here next Sunday. Well, today we are jumping into this last message in our series, When Life Gives You Lemons. And to get us started, I'm going to need your help, and we're going to all participate together in a communication technique that was most exciting to most of us when we were like 5 or maybe 6 years old. So like a few decades ago, okay? So just like roll back to your childhood times. You're going to need to channel your inner 5 or 6 year old. I'll find mine too. And I'm going to need you to participate really loudly in the room so that people who are with us online or listening to the podcast later can kind of hear how this goes. Hey, by the way, those of you online or listening to this podcast, I just want to encourage you to go ahead and participate on your own in case the room lets you down, okay? So just make sure, join right in, you'll know your lines. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready, okay, cool. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lemons.
Knock,
knock.
Who's there?
Lemons.
Lemons who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad I didn't say lemons? You're welcome. I'm sorry. But hey, we've been talking about lemons for these last few weeks, and today we are not going to talk about lemons. We've been talking about how lemons are the unexpected, the unwanted circumstances or situations of our lives. And today, instead of talking about what we do in those circumstances, which, by the way, we've had a few cool messages, and I would encourage you to go check those out on our YouTube channel or website if you missed them. But today, we're going to look instead at a teaching from Jesus that doesn't talk about the lemons, but instead invites us to be the bearers of fruit. And so we're going to dive in and look at a passage from the Gospel of John. I want to invite you this morning to go ahead and take out your Bibles or take out your device if you've got your Bible app on your phone. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, go ahead and download one like now. It's super helpful. Bible.com is a really great, easy place you can find a free one. One of the things I love about being able to not only have Bibles as like the text, the books that we may have grown up with or may have, I love having a Bible app handy because when we're studying, sometimes it's helpful to look at a different translation to just really get the richness of God's word, right? So for example, I mostly grew up learning and reading from the NIV translation. That may have been the same for you, or maybe yours was ESV or NLT. There's a lot, okay? And they're all slightly distinctive in how the translators approached understanding the Word of God the very best that they could. But today, what I'm actually going to be reading from is a paraphrase or a translation called The Message, because as I was preparing to share with you today from this passage, which was familiar to me, I discovered that the Message translation just had some new richness that I wanted to be able to share with you all this morning. So feel free to read along in whatever translation you're comfortable with. I'm going to be reading from the Message in John chapter 15, and I'm going to start right in verse 1. I'll read through about verse 10 and then over to verse 16 and 17. So you can allow this just to soak over you. This is God's word for us this morning, and I'm excited to unpack it with you. So in John 15, we break in, and Jesus is teaching his disciples. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says this: I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure and abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. I love this passage because there's so much here that Jesus is teaching us about bearing fruit. And when we study God's word, honestly, the best and most beautiful part of that is just to go right into his text and ask ourselves this question: what do you have me to see here, God? What can I see about what Jesus was teaching? What did it mean? And how do I apply it in my own life? And so that's what we're going to try to do together today. So we're going to go kind of right from the top of that passage through it. And hopefully along the way, I'll be able to share with you some of what I see Jesus asking to teach us. And we'll look at some practical applications as well. What does it mean to bear fruit that will last? Okay, that's where we're headed. So, starting right at the beginning of this passage, we see that bearing fruit requires pruning. Right at the beginning, Jesus says, I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Okay, let's talk about pruning for a second, all right? When I read this passage and I see that the branches that don't bear grapes are going to be pruned, I'm like, sweet, that totally makes sense. Prune them off. Who needs those branches anyway, right? Get rid of them. But that next part of the verse is a little bit more challenging for me because the next part says, every branch that is grape-bearing, oh my goodness, also gets pruned. If it's a grape-bearing branch, he prunes it so it will bear even more. Okay, so when we read this verse, what we can see is that all of us potentially are going to experience pruning. I know I said I wouldn't talk about lemons, but do you see that, right? The lemons, they're always going to come. Pruning is always going to come. Pruning is a part of the way that when we're living in relationship with Jesus, we can see that the branches are pruned that are not bearing fruit, right? He's concerned about if you're not bearing fruit, but he's also concerned about the quality and abundance of the fruit that we bear, and is anxious to help us prune to make room for even more growth. This is a picture of pruning, and you can see the idea of pruning, whether you're pruning grapevines or rose bushes, the idea of pruning is that you're cutting off the shoots, the things that are sort of distracting from that vine continuing to grow up towards the sunlight, right? In a sense, when you prune rose bushes, sometimes you even cut off the flowers, right? The things that look beautiful but are somehow kind of crowding out or getting tangled up and starving out the growth of the rest of that healthy plant. And so we can expect that right from the beginning here, Jesus is being really intentional about this metaphor. We think about Jesus' love, which absolutely is one of the things about him that's true. But we also know that when we follow after Jesus, life includes pain and suffering. Pruning looks a lot like loss. Maybe something that's kind of a little unexpected, a distraction or whatever, right? Like, so just know that right from the beginning, as we talk about bearing fruit, we're reminded that there's a process here that can sometimes be a little bit painful as part of our growth. And yet, whenever a gardener prunes a plant, they're always subtracting something in order to make room for something else, right? They're going to take off a bit of the vine in order that the fruit can grow more productive or the flowers can be more healthy and beautiful. So just know if you're in a season of pruning or you're walking through those kinds of painful trials, that pruning is often, right, a part of God's goodness, that there's a purpose to that as we're thinking about bearing fruit. There's an author named Beth Moore who says this about the pruning process. If we allow his shears to do their work, meaning God, the purpose is always the same, growth. The wonder of fruit bearing is that something meaningful can come from even the meanest of seasons. Something meaningful can come from even the hardest of our seasons as we think about this process of pruning. And that leads us to the second thing that I think we see in this passage. Bearing fruit is a process. It's a process. Jesus says these words, "Live in me, make your home in me." Your translation may say something like, "Abide in me," or "Stay with me," or "Remain in me." All of those phrases, right? The continuation of a relationship that Jesus has with us and wants to continue. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined, staying joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. These words, right, remind me, this is a process. This isn't a one-time thing. We like do it, we check a box, and we move on. Like staying joined with Jesus is a process. So you may ask yourself this question. I asked myself as I was reviewing this week. Okay, so God, right, is the creator of the universe. All things are within his power. Why didn't God just make like instant fruit? Like, I want grapes. Boom, perfect grapes. Like, perfect bananas, whatever, right? Like, why didn't God just make trees pop out perfect fruit, like instantly? I don't know. Had you ever thought about that before? Here's what I think. I think even the nature of growth and plants gives us some indication of God's character. God is a God who wants to nurture our transformation. God is a God who wants to see our process and our growth. God loves growth. God didn't just pop out finished fruits. He created trees that grow from tiny little seeds up to, you know, beautiful fruit-bearing orchards. And I think he does that in our lives a bit too. I'm not a farmer, but I want to talk with you about something that I learned this last year. I'm not a farmer, and I'm not originally from the West Coast, but my family and I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii this last January, which was beautiful and awesome, and we got to go to a pineapple farm. Guys, no lie. If you had asked me before this trip how pineapples grow, I think I would have told you that they grew on trees. Spoiler alert, they don't grow on trees. Pineapples don't grow on trees. They grow in the ground. This is a picture of a pineapple kind of near the ground growing in a field. I had no idea that pineapples didn't grow on trees. Not a native Californian, what can I say? Maybe you didn't know either. Someone last service confessed that she's lived here for a long time and had no idea that was true either. So I didn't feel so alone. Here's the thing. Pineapples amazed me because of the patience and the process that's required to grow pineapples. For example, did you know that from the time a pineapple is a plant is planted to the time it yields fruit is about 20 months? 20 months. And then it's another 15 to 18 months for the second fruit from that pineapple plant to grow. Here's another crazy thing. Pineapples only grow one fruit at a time. A pineapple plant grows one at a time. How are we not paying millions of dollars for pineapple, you guys? I don't get it. One at a time. And then each plant, over the course of the entire life of that plant, only yields two or three pineapples before it's just put right back into the cycle of soil. That's wild. That process takes patience. And just the idea, the thoughtfulness, right, behind a creator that created an amazing fruit like pineapples that would take 2 years to grow in this. I mean, right, and that's fruit. And here's the other amazing thing. At the Dole plantation, they've managed to figure out how to stagger the planting and the each piece of this growth cycle so that throughout the year, they are constantly harvesting pineapple. There's no such thing as like pineapple season. Like the pineapples are constantly in rotation because they're constantly growing and being nurtured and being harvested over the lifetime of these pineapples. It may seem simple, but it was totally amazing to me because, like I said, I'm not a pineapple farmer, but I thought that was really cool. Here's something I am. I am a mom. And another place where I see God in my life is in this process of parenting. I think that parenting is one of the ways God has gifted me an opportunity to see a little glimpse of like how he peers down at me and into our lives, okay? So I have a son. This is my son, Andrew. He's my oldest. I have 5 kids, but he's my oldest, and this is my husband, Josh. And my son, Andrew, just graduated from high school. He's 18 years old. He's going to be heading to college in the fall. And as we celebrated Andrew's graduation this past spring, I took the time to kind of go through old pictures and whatnot and create over our mantle what my younger children, both mockingly and disdainfully and perhaps a little jealously, called my shrine to Andrew, okay? It was not a shrine to Andrew, but I had a picture from each of his years from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, those school pictures, right, that we collect through all the years, and was able to display those. And honestly, as part of our celebration of his graduation with friends and family, it was so fun, right, to look back at those moments and milestones. Why? Because as a parent, I loved that kindergarten picture. That was just sweetness embodied, right? And then the years go by a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's your first school picture when you got your glasses. What a big moment that was, you know? And then it's like, oh, that haircut. Yeah, 6th grade was rough for everybody. Don't worry about it, you know? Like, and then to look at his senior picture and have all the hopes. Why? Because when we look back as a parent, we can see everything about what I love about Andrew today has something to do with who he's been becoming over all those years, right? That little child that I can glimpse back at the kindergarten picture is really just a little piece of the young man who I'm really excited and a little mom heartbroken to launch toward his next stages. I'm excited because I see where he's been, who he is, and I'm so excited for who he's becoming. You see how with God, God looks at you that same way? Like your life mess ups. Andrew as a kid is not perfect. I as a parent am not perfect. We've had our bumps and things along the way, but the beauty of the process is something that we can also enjoy and just see the goodness in, right? So I want to just remind you that bearing fruit is a process, and we see that in how Jesus is inviting us to stay with him, abide in him, remain, because even though we grow and we change, there's something constant in that relationship that we get invited to have. Here's the third thing. Bearing fruit is personal. Bearing fruit is personal. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. Bearing fruit is personal. We can think about the intimacy that we can have with God in our times of prayer or our times of worship. This idea that the relationship we have with Jesus is truly sweetened the more time that we get to spend with him. This isn't an obligation kind of thing, right? This isn't the like, I must do my daily devotional time or God is going, no, this is like, I can't wait to be with Jesus for just a few minutes because it's been a really crazy day. And whether that's like on your drive home or that's actually sitting and having quiet time, like it's the personal, quiet relationship with God that causes us to be able to have an intimate, an organic relationship. And where Jesus says that's where the harvest is going to be abundant. Bearing fruit is personal. But check this out. Bearing fruit is also communal. Jesus says this, "This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I have loved you the way the Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love." Remember, I said at the beginning, who is Jesus talking to when he says these words? Well, he's talking to his 12 disciples. He is talking to a group of people who follow after him. And guys, I used to be an English major, so I can notice this. He's speaking in the plural, okay? When you mature as my disciples, or make yourselves at home, right? There's this plurality, this community that Jesus is inviting us into. Bearing fruit is personal, yes, intimate, and closeness with God, but it's also communal. What do we as a gathering of people represent when it comes to God's plans for bearing fruit? So I want you to notice that. To illustrate this just a little bit, I would love to invite you to take a look at this next screen. On this screen, what I would like you to do from wherever you are in the room is stare at the black dot. It's right here in the middle. If you have a hard time seeing that black dot, it's right in the middle. And I want you to stare intently at that black dot. And over about the next 30 seconds, as you stare at the black dot, the colored patches around it will start to disappear. Okay? The colored patches around it will start to disappear. Is anyone having that happen? Yep, okay, a few. If you're not seeing it, don't worry, you're not weird. Well, you might be, but it's okay. If you're not seeing it, stick with me. The colored patches around this black dot, if you stare at the dot, start to disappear because of a phenomenon that a guy named Dr. Troxler discovered in 1804. He discovered that the brain stops paying attention to visual scenes that don't change. So when the scene isn't changing around this black dot and you've chosen to focus on just that black dot, you actually stop seeing, your brain stops seeing all those colors even though they didn't go away. Crazy, right? Okay, hang with me. Here's the next one. On this screen, looking intently at that grid, how many dots do you see? You're looking for little black dots. Go ahead and start counting. If you see one, maybe look down. Do you see any others? Or look to the left or to the right. Are they moving around a little? Are the dots jumping? How many dots do you see? 12. I'm hearing some people say 12. Awesome. Yes, there are 12 dots. There were a lot of you who didn't say 12, and if you are them, you are very normal. Most people can't see all 12 dots, right? Those dots start jumping around, fading in and out, focusing in and out, right? It's almost impossible for people to actually see all 12 of those little black dots. Okay, what in the world is the point of this? Here's my point. Don't be an optical illusion Christian. What do I mean by that? Don't be an optical illusion Christian. Don't be the kind of Christian that's like, hey, my personal relationship with Jesus is awesome. Like, I do my daily devotional time, and it's just so sweet, and I feel like I can hear God speaking to me constantly. And you know what? Like, I am more in tune with God if I go on a nature walk on a Sunday morning than if I come to church, because that is just where God meets me. Okay, right? It might be awesome that God meets you on a nature walk, but that's just one piece. Your personal, intimate relationship with God is just one piece. Or maybe you're the other kind of Christian, optical illusion Christians, right? You're the other kind of Christian that's like, hey, you know what? I come to church every single week. I am there. I check in. I am all about it. Church is a priority for me and my family. I make sure we're there every single week. Thank you. That's awesome. But if that's the only time that you spend time worshiping God or praising him or praying or seeking counsel of others, like that, you're missing out. Because what's the personal side of that, right? If you only stare at that little black dot and you forget about all the colors around it, you're missing something. It's there, but you're missing it, right? Don't be tricked. Don't be an optical illusion Christian. N.T. Wright says it this way, which I love. There's no such thing as a solitary Christian. It's like an oxymoron to think that we do this life by ourselves. That's not what Jesus called us to. Yes, he invited us to a personal and intimate relationship, but also a communal one. And that's so important not to miss, okay? So we're going to keep going, but bearing fruit is both personal and communal. Here's the next one. Bearing fruit is our purpose. I love this part. I love having a purpose, don't you? Yes, all right. Bearing fruit is our purpose. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Bearing fruit is our purpose. it's our calling. It's our, like, the thing that gets us going, right, is this idea that we are chosen and that Jesus has for us this very clear, albeit perhaps confusing, purpose, bear fruit, right? And you're like, really? Do I need to become a pineapple farmer? Because a second ago, I thought they grew on trees. That's weird. No, you don't have to be a pineapple farmer. We're going to talk in just a few minutes about what it looks like to actually bear fruit. But what I want you to just hear is that the calling that Jesus gives us is simple. It's a simple purpose. We are called, we are chosen to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. And he gives us a clue that one of the ways we're going to do that is by loving one another. Beth Moore again says this. She says, God means for us to be profoundly effective. That longing in us to contribute, to do something worthwhile, isn't just a self-consumed dream. If we follow Jesus, that's what we can hope to expect from life. If we follow Jesus, we can expect that we have a greater purpose than just living out life. Jesus has a purpose for us where he's going to actually, not us, not our own willpower, but like Jesus is going to transform us into a beautiful fruit bearer, right? We've talked about some of the ways that happens. What I want you to see is this last part. When we follow Jesus, this idea that we are going to be living to a higher and greater purpose, that's what we can expect. There's a family who is part of our church who started coming to Verve City about a year ago. And we have an opportunity this morning to see the story of Ken and Patty Arlt. And I'm so excited for you to be able to see this, because when we think about examples of what it looks like to follow after God, even when we're not quite sure where that might be leading, I think Ken and Patty's story is a beautiful example. So let's take a look at that story.
What is waiting for you when you listen and trust God is something amazing, something that will more than likely be a lot better where you're at right now. Not more comfortable. It's about faith, not comfort. But God will have something amazing for you.
Our journey to Verve City started in August 2020. We were serving at a church that we had been at for 33 years. It was a Saturday afternoon. We were helping get the campus ready because the next day was going to be baptisms. And so I was working on helping clean up the garden area. And there was a plant that had needed a little bit of extra attention. So I pulled it to the side. And as I was pulling out dead weeds and leaves and grass and trash that had gotten into the plant, I felt God speak to me saying that this plant was like me, in that I was overgrown and needed to be potted into fresh soil, and that the leaves and trash that I was pulling out of it were things in my life that were keeping me from growing. So I sensed in my spirit that God was suggesting that we were going to be moving. And so I ran over to Ken.
And she told me that Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and he's telling me that he's getting ready to replant us. And I asked, so what do you mean by replant? You know, are we moving to another state? Are we changing jobs? What are we doing? And she goes, no, I think he's telling us that we're probably gonna be going to another church sometime. He's moving us to another church. And of course, my reaction was, being there so long, I said, I don't wanna leave. And I think where that came from was fear. I mean, you've been in one place for so long, and then God says, I'm moving you. Our lives were shook.
So we kept that in our hearts, and we were afraid of what to do with it. But a couple months later, we ended up leaving the church. During that season, we spent all that time in prayer, and we were seeking him.
One Sunday morning, we decided to stay home.
And then we found Verve City online.
She said, hey, babe, you want to watch it? I said, all right, yeah, let's check him out.
And once we saw it online, it encouraged us. And so we decided we were going to get dressed and we get down for the 11 o'clock service.
The moment we pulled into the parking lot, you could feel the presence of God already. It was just amazing. And so we loved the service. We loved the worship part. We loved everything about it. We were pretty excited driving home. So yeah, let's come back next week.
So then after attending for a while, we knew we wanted to get connected. So we signed up for Distinctives class. Then we signed up for Rooted, and then we signed up for Activate, and we even joined a small group that we are part of now and love it. Ken is on the worship team, and I serve in Kids Church. And then we both together are involved in connections and outreach. And so the full circle moment about plants, I'm now involved in helping with plants at Verve City Church. I get to help put together plants for first-time visitors when they go to the welcome spot.
We learned that, you know, it's about faith, trusting in God, leaning onto Him, and just letting Him take over.
It's been wonderful to see what God has done in our lives. Yeah. At first, we were afraid when He was moving us, but then we developed a trust and understanding that God is good, and we can trust Him, and that His plans are always best, and He is faithful to see us through no matter what we're going through in life.
When we're practicing the way of Jesus, we may not always know where we're being led, but we know who is leading us, right? I love how the Arles story just reminds us of some of that truth. And you've probably experienced some of this in your life, right? You've experienced uprooting or pruning or just not being sure about what's next. And I just want to encourage you today that when we're following after Jesus, we can expect that we're not always going to be sure. And yet, we know who's leading us, who's walking with us. Again, Beth Moore says it this way. She says, Jesus is our staying power in all our going. If you'll stay while you go, if you'll abide, if you'll live with me like Jesus invites, if you'll stay while you go, you may not always know where you're going, but you can know that wherever you end up, He will walk with you there. Amen, right? So here's my challenge question for you. Where are you going? Where is God leading you? And I want to just give you a quick refresher. If you've been around here, if you consider Verve City your church home, some of this will be super familiar to you. And if you're new around here, you may be hearing it for the first time. And I think that's awesome too, because what I know is that every single one of us has a next step that we can take in our relationship with Jesus. That's one of the things that keeps this like fresh and exciting. And so at Verve City, we have what we call our discipleship pathway. Now, our discipleship pathway has four components, but these are not linear components. It's not like you do A and then you check that box and now I do B and now I do C. A discipleship pathway is kind of like this cycle of bearing fruit that we've been talking about, right? It involves planting and growth and nurturing and pruning and bearing fruit and a harvest, right? Like that cycle. And then like the pineapples, it repeats. And there's another piece of that process that God is breathing life into. In our discipleship pathway, we have these four elements: follow Jesus, find life, grow together, and change the world. You can see these out on the wall over by our coffee cart, right? Like these are the ways that we see God helping us bear fruit in our lives through the ministries and the ways that we get to connect here at Verve City. There's lots of ways that you can do this. So for example, we follow Jesus when we declare that He's our Lord and we choose to be baptized and we celebrate that as a community. Or we find life when we find a group that shares interests with ours and we start to see ourselves plugging in and getting connected and feeling nourished by our community here. We grow together when we study God's word in small groups or through Rooted. We grow not only as a person individually, but like we grow together. And then finally, this idea that we get to change the world. We get to be a force for good in our communities and throughout the world by service that we do, maybe here on our campus or maybe out in the community. Like these are ways, these are markers of what it looks like to be a disciple that's bearing fruit. And here's my next encouragement. It's really easy to take some of these next steps, and I just want to let you know what's right around the corner coming up. You need to know that we didn't tell Patty and Ken what to say. I wasn't even there when they recorded it, okay? But I love that one of the things Patty talks about is that in their experience, one of the first things they did was they joined a distinctives discussion group. We've got those coming up right now. They're starting this coming Wednesday and for the next three Wednesdays in August. What is a distinctives discussion group? Well, We know that joining a small group can be a huge big step, and sometimes all you're curious about is like, hey, what would it be like to have a conversation with some of these folks that I sit with on Sundays at Verve City Church? And what would we even talk about? Great question. So our Distinctives series gives you an opportunity to just taste a little bit of what small group life would be like by coming together. These will be from 7 till 8:30 on Wednesday nights. And each night, each of these Wednesdays, we've picked a fun topic. You're going to see a message that Josh taught, a consolidated version of one, that Josh taught sometime in the last couple of years. And these are some of the messages that we think are really great examples of how we live out our faith as Verve City Church. How do we live out what it looks like to say that we find life by following Jesus? What does that actually mean? And so we've picked some topics that we think are pretty fun to get conversation going. For example, the first one on August 2nd is going to be the topic of the gospel and culture. That's a pretty big box to open up, right? What do we think about the gospel and culture, and how do those things relate? August 9th, we're going to talk about politics. At Verve City, we are not political, but we live in a community and in a culture and in a time where politics is always clamoring one way or the other to make Jesus their mascot. And so how do we actually put Jesus at the center of our lives and navigate challenging conversations, whether that's with friends or family or neighbors or whatnot, around a political dynamic that's kind of spiraling all over the place sometimes? How do we have that conversation as Jesus followers? We want to invite you into that. And then finally, on August 16th, an awesome message called "You Are Insanely Biased." Because if you haven't noticed, we are all insanely biased. We bring our own stuff when it comes to reading scripture, understanding what God is trying to teach us. And so how do we sift through some of that to have more effective, more productive conversations and relationships? This is our little Distinctives series. It's just three Wednesdays. And here's the best part. You don't even have to come to all three. You can come to any one of these conversations just to check it out, to be part of a community here that wants to wrestle with scripture and practicality. And like, how do we do that? So I want to invite you to these Distinctives classes. They are coming right up. We'd love to know if you're coming, but there's no long-term commitment. We just would love for you to dip your toe in, right? Kind of see if this might be for you. It might be a great next step. We also are offering in August Activate. Activate is our four-week class. If you are looking to plug in, if you're looking for the potential small group opportunity, or you might want to serve or make a difference through Verve City, we want you to come through Activate because we think it's an awesome way not only to discover a little more about our church, but to be reminded that you are uniquely wired and you have something special to contribute here. And so I want to encourage you to consider Activate. Baptism, also an amazing next step. Coming up August 13th, we are celebrating baptisms at all of our services that Sunday. We can't wait to be able to cheer for those of you who've made a commitment to follow after Jesus as your Savior, but maybe you've never made that declaration public. We want to invite you to do that, and we want to celebrate with you. August 13th, you can sign up for baptism. Or joining the Dream Team. Maybe you're somebody who has a beautiful, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus, and that's awesome. But as you've heard this message this morning, God's prompting you to consider what would it look like to do more on that communal side. And I just want to encourage you, the Dream Team is an amazing opportunity for you to serve, to get plugged in here. Maybe it's to greet folks in the parking lot, or to greet new families in our kids' ministry, or to serve with our students. Like, there are so many ways to be on our worship team or production. Like, if God is prompting you to serve as a next step, I want to encourage you to consider joining our Dream Team this fall. And then finally, as we get to the fall, we have an awesome opportunity with Rooted groups as our discipleship group. Rooted is a 10-week commitment to go a little deeper. If you're at a point where you feel like your faith has plateaued and it's just been a while since you've had really rich conversation about how God's word is just active in your life, I want to encourage you to consider joining a Rooted group. Or activity groups will also start up this fall. If what you need is just some friends, some community, a sense that you're not in this alone, like activity groups could be an awesome thing for you to plug into. There's a QR code up here because we want to make it easy, right? These next steps, you need to be reminded, these next steps are not something that I want you to do just to check off a list or Josh wants you to do. This isn't a list of things God wants from you. Because here's the last thing I think we learn from Scripture. Bearing fruit is a gift. These aren't things that God wants from you. This isn't just a to-do list of stuff because God wants you to do more. Bearing fruit is a gift. God wants for you the experience of this beautiful gift of fruit in your life that you can enjoy, that you can harvest, that you can share. Paul picks up on this metaphor that Jesus used in John, and he writes this in his letter to the Galatians. Paul writes, this is the NIV version some of you may be familiar with. He writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control." The fruit of the Spirit, bearing fruit, is a gift. But once again, as I looked at some alternative translations, I was super drawn in and appreciative of the Message, because this to me has always read a little bit like a checklist. And the last thing I want you to see this morning is a list of stuff from God. What I want you to see is the transformational power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and like what that change, what that growth and transformation can really look like. So let's look at the Message version of this same passage in Galatians. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way as fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Fruit like this isn't about what God wants from you. It's what he wants for you. We know that we're always going to face lemons. They're kind of a part of life. We can't avoid them, right? Those unexpected, unwanted circumstances and situations. The lemons of life are inevitable. But the fruits of our lives are meant to be nurtured, enjoyed, harvested, shared. Our purpose isn't dodging lemons or dealing with them or even mixing up really great Arnold Palmers. We talked about that, right? The lemonade and iced tea mix, that's what you're going to enjoy on your way out today, those Arnold Palmers. But that's not our purpose, is it? Our purpose in Christ is to grow as his disciples, making fruit that will last. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we are so thankful for who you are, and we're thankful for Jesus showing us what it means to be your true disciples, God. I just ask that as we are sitting here in your presence this morning, that you would be stirring the hearts of the people who are hearing my voice, God, toward your goals, your desires, your purpose in their lives. God, I just ask that you would give them courage and boldness to step forward towards something next. I'm so grateful that I can trust you as my Lord and my Savior, God, and I just know that you are with us each and every step, even when we're not certain. And so, God, I just ask that you would bless this church with an abundance of your fruit. God, help us to be bearers of your fruit in a way that just allows you to be shining through our lives and just truly impacting our community. We're so grateful for the opportunity to worship you and to be the makers of change, to be a force for good because of who you are and what you've done and what you're doing through us. God, we're grateful. We give it all to you in Jesus' name as we continue to worship. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Verve City Church Weekly Messages Podcast. To learn more about Verve City Church, including info about our church ministries and ways to get involved, visit vervecity.church. To stay up to date with our weekly messages, make sure you subscribe and leave a review so others can find our messages of hope and encouragement. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next week.